Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. I want to start something today. I want to talk to you. Probably going to take several weeks to work through this. But I want to talk to you on the topic of living a better story. I became aware of a book, and I'll tell you about it in just a few moments, but it kind of inspired me to kind of dig a little bit deeper. And I also heard a sermon by a man named Stephen Furtick when Rebecca and I were at conference, and he kind of touched on this just a little bit, and I've taken that and really kind of dug deep, and I know that God has spoken to me through this, through the preparation of these messages that are going to be coming in the next few weeks. And I pray and hope that God uses them also to speak to you as well. I just want to read read this passage out of Colossians. And I'm reading, what's on the screen is from the New International Version. I'm actually reading from the New American Standard, so, and you probably have or may have something different, but let's read this. I'm going to begin in verse 16. It says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Verse 17 says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, which is the church. He is also the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." I love what I love this word right here. The NASB says that he might have first place in everything. The NIV says that he might have the supremacy. I love that word. I'm going to use that word. Verse 19 says, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross through him." I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Let's pray real quick. Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this scripture passage. Father, I thank you for your entire word, that which is a big story. Father, help us to take your story, apply it to our lives, and find that we are part of your story. Father, help us to live out our story in faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, God does give his word. His word right here is in the form of a story, and it's a big story. From beginning to end, the story is the story of the creation, where God created the earth, the fall of mankind, where sin entered the world, the institution of the law to show us that we're all sinners, right? The story of the redemption that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ, and ultimately the hope of heaven. And that's a big story. Within that big story are many, many other stories. The stories of the Exodus, Moses leading the people, the crossing of the Red Sea, the story of the kings. We can study about David and Solomon and even King Saul and David before he was king, and Daniel in the lion's den. All those little stories fit in there, but they all are part of the bigger story. That's kind of what I want to approach, how I want to approach it today, is that we, our story, my story, your story, is really part of a bigger story. And are we playing the right part? This author, Donald Miller, he wrote this book called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. And it kind of had the subtitle, which is called What I Learned While Editing My Life. And the story goes that he did a seminar over this book called Living a Better Story. And that's kind of where I stole the name from, Living a Better Story. On the inside flap of his book is this quote. Let me read it. He says, "Every life is a story. And whether it is a story worth telling and talking about is up to you. People set out with grand dreams of changing the world, of falling in love, doing something amazing, But the drift toward merely acceptable happens almost without notice. Later, some people, they came and approached him, and they wanted to make a movie about him, about his life, because he had this cool book, and they wanted to make a movie about it. And they began to study his life. They realized they had to change all the details of his life to make it interesting, because he was a boring guy. His story just wasn't that great. And he kind of writes about what it felt like for him to realize that his story wasn't really worth telling. He wrote a good book and all, but when you looked at his life, he was like, really not worth telling. And how that impacted him is kind of where he got his inspiration to go on. He said, I need to have a life that's worth telling people about. It began to change. For the next few weeks, we'll look at how the Scripture tells us how we can live a life that is worth telling and worth talking about. The elements that make a good story also make a good life. Did you know that? The elements that make a good story also make a good life. And here's the elements that make a good story. Here it is. Listen. A character wants something, and he overcomes conflict to get it. Think of a story. Think of a movie. Think of, somebody call out a movie. The one that I know. The Passion of the Christ. Well, that's a story here. He wanted something. What was it? Us. He overcame conflict to get it. Right? Think of what? Cars, the movie. What was the characters were the cars. They wanted what? He wanted to win the race. But he couldn't even get to the race, right? So he had to overcome the conflict of how to get to the race so he could win the race. Found out that the race wasn't all that important. Courageous. How many of y'all seen the movie Courageous? The characters. There were conflict. Each one of them had different conflicts. But they wanted something. They had to overcome those conflicts to get it. Think of, how many of you have seen Braveheart? How many of y'all have seen Braveheart? I know that that's not the most Christianized movie out there, but William Wallace, kind of based loosely on a true story, but he wanted what? What did he want? What did he holler at the end of the movie? Freedom! He wanted freedom. He wanted freedom for his nation. What did it take to get it? He had to overcome conflict. Any great story that's out there, Gone with the Wind. I don't even know what the story is, but I'm sure there was a character, I'm sure there was conflict, and I'm sure they wanted something to overcome. Okay? But, any great story out there follows these certain elements. What we just read about in Colossians is this. There's a character. Who's the character? God. God wanted something. What did he want? He wanted this. He wanted supremacy in everything. He wanted to be supreme in everything, and he wanted to reconcile all things to himself. He had the character. He wanted something, and he had to overcome conflict. Conflict is sin. How many of you have ever given God conflict because of your disobedience? Come on now. And the ones that aren't are liars right now. So, because we've all sinned. We've all done this. We've all given God conflict. He overcame that conflict to get what he wanted. He overcomes the conflict to reconcile us to himself so that he can have the supremacy. So that he can have first place. That's right, preeminence. All that in a bag of chips. Everything. God is it. And he says, I am that. And let me show you. Because I'm going to accomplish that. Jesus, in this story, he's the hero. Jesus is the hero. And I looked this up this week, Rebecca, Rebecca is an English teacher also, and when I do something that's kind of you know, that would impress her. I want to make sure that she notices so that she'll be impressed. Every good story has to have an antagonist and a protagonist. Those are big words. Those are really big words. A good guy and a bad guy is what that really means, right? You can't have a good story without a good guy and a bad guy, right? Because there has to be the conflict. That's where the conflict comes in. I want to read to you another passage out of the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 17 through 24. This is Paul's. This is part of Paul's story. He says, do we have this on the screen? It's the next verse, Acts chapter. There we are. He says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house. Solemnly, I testify to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. That's kind of depressing a little bit, isn't it? Everywhere you go, look for bond to be enslaved and have afflictions. But he goes on, he says, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. Paul. You see, he's in the middle of his story. Now we can look forward and we can see that Paul finished well. But Paul was in the middle of his story and he didn't really know. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem and I don't know what awaits me when I get there. He didn't know the end of his story yet. You see, if we could turn to the end of our story, if we could fast forward through our book and look at the end of our lives and see how things turned out, it would make it easier to trust God now, wouldn't it? It'd be easier to trust God throughout our entire story if we knew the outcome. But you see, God is more concerned about us knowing Him and who He is than us knowing our story. Remember? Who wants the supremacy? Who wants to have first place? God does. He wants to have first place in our lives. Paul, in verses 22 and 23 of that, what we just read, he says, and now behold, bound by the Spirit, I'm on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. That's conflict. He wants something, but he has to overcome conflict to get it. And then verse 24, he says, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly to the gospel of the grace of Jesus Christ. He says, whatever my part of the story is, I know to give God supremacy. I know to give God first place. And if I do that, it doesn't matter what my story is, because it's not my story. You see, my part is just part of God's story. And Paul got that. I believe that there are four reasons. Now, I'm just now getting to my points, y'all. 4 points. You're thinking, well, he's halfway through there. Well, not quite. We're just getting started. 4 points. Four things, I believe, that reasons why our stories struggle. Why sometimes we have a story that's not really worth telling. And number one, I believe, is that sometimes we cast the wrong main character. Sometimes we cast ourselves as the main character. How many of you have seen the movie Gladiator? The Roman guy's enslaved and he's fighting enemies, a warrior. Okay, a big blood and guts kind of movie. Big rough and tumble type guy. How many of you have ever seen the movie called Home Alone? Okay, Macaulay Culkin, right? He's this little guy, and it's a great story because he's left home alone. His parents have gone, and he's this little kid, and he has to fend off the invaders of his house and all that, right? Okay, well, Macaulay Culkin, had they put him as the main character in Gladiator, come on now, goes into the arena with paint cans and BB guns and flamethrowers. I mean, that's not that great of a story. Or you take, what's his name, Russell Crowe, out of The Gladiator, and put him home alone. Well, he's a grown man, right? The wrong character in the story doesn't make sense. Guess what? When we cast ourselves as the main character in our story that is really God's story, it doesn't make sense. I tell you, When I was younger, of course, every time in my life was when I was younger, right? Because I haven't lived the future yet. It's kind of like when somebody says, this is a picture of me when I was younger. Well, hello, every picture of you is when you were younger. Even if I just took it and showed it to you, you were seconds younger right then, right? But when I was in high school, I was a stud. I was the God King of West Texas football, okay? Now, I don't talk about this a lot personally. My dad does a lot, but I don't talk about this a lot because here's something that I learned. When I talk about it, and you'll see in a minute because I'm going to start getting excited because I am going to talk about it in a second, but I'll start to get bloated up and I'll start to think, well, I am pretty darn hot. I'm pretty good. Matter of fact, I should be doing something better. You know, it won't take me long before I'll be running off on this deal. But let me tell you about it in high school. I mean, I was 6'2", 240 pounds, lean, mean, fighting machine. Was fast, ran the 40 in like 4.6. In high school, I was benching like 365 pounds. In college, the next year, I went up to like 540 pounds bench press. It's a lot of weight, y'all. And I tell you this just because that's how big I was in my own mind, too. And my goals were to play NFL football someday because even as a high school senior, I was bigger, faster, quicker, and stronger than a lot of the NFL athletes. And so I knew that through college I was only going to get better, only going to get bigger and stronger and faster, and I was just going to be like the MVP of the whole National Football League and stuff. And that was my goal. And I had the equipment to get that done. I had the equipment to accomplish that. Matter of fact, on Saturdays after the games, we would all go up there and have to sit through film, right? Anybody that's played football, you know you have to sit through film. And you sit there and the coaches, they show you your mistake and they rewind it. They show it again, they rewind it, they show it again, they rewind it. And say, everybody else, look at Mike, he made this mistake. They rewind it 4 or 5 times. And that's how you learn. You learn by watching your mistakes. Well, and we're watching this whole picture of the whole football field and every 22 guys on the field. I was focused on me because I wanted to watch what I was doing because it was good stuff. But that was it. You see, I was focused on me. I was focused on my story. And I neglected to really see at that time because I was just an immature high school guy. I mean, some of y'all are mature in high school, I know, but I wasn't. But I was selfish, and my focus was on me. I didn't realize that it was the big story I needed to focus on. I didn't understand that my part was just a part of the bigger story. And I'll tell you something. What I learned, God had to show me. went through, you know, went on to college, and I didn't play after about a year and a half in college because I had some injuries. And God just kind of, I think, looking back, I think God showed me. He said, look, you're getting a big head. This has become more about you than it is about me. Let me just bring you down a notch or two. And he did that. And I'll tell you this, what I learned, and what many of you can testify to, is that if our story does not revolve around God's story, it ain't worth telling. If our story does not revolve around God's story, it's not worth telling. You know, somebody's going to tell the story of your life someday. Should we all live long enough, and Jesus tarry his coming long enough, there's going to come a day when we'll die. And 150 years in the future, if they still hold funerals, somebody's going to stand up and tell the story. But it'll only be a synopsis. That's another big word. Synopsis. That means just a little picture of the story. How many of you ever been to a funeral or even talked about someone who's died and gone on, and the question is asked, did they go to heaven? And you say, I don't know. I hope so. Maybe you've heard somebody say, well, I'm sure he did because he was a good guy. Is your story worth telling? Will they stand up someday and say, let me tell you. Let me tell you about this guy. Let me tell you about this woman. There's a great story to tell. Is it worth telling? See, your part in God's story is to give God the supremacy. Is to set God up in first place. And I tell you, I believe that there may be even someone here today that needs to give their life to Jesus Christ because the story's been all about you. It's been all about you for way too long, and you know that in the end, that story is not a story worth telling. If that's you today, oh, I'm not picking on you, but yet I think you need to know that God wants you to live his story. It's not your story. It's not all about you. Where are you in God's story is the question. Number two, first off, is we've cast the wrong main character. Number two is I think sometimes we're working off the wrong script. You know, when they look at the movies, when they cast a character and they give them a script and say, here's the script of our movie. We're going to make this movie and here's the script of it. Study it, learn it. Imagine, again, if they came to the making of this movie, this Western movie, and the guy brought a script that he studied about aliens. You might have a movie called Cowboys and Aliens or something. I don't know, which they really did that. I didn't see it, but you see what I'm saying? If you show up and you studied the wrong script, you're not going to be a good part in the story. And you see, we've been handed all these different scripts by society, by the people around us. We've been handed these scripts. And it all goes back all the way to Adam and Eve, y'all. Listen, Adam and Eve were handed a script by the devil. You know what that script said? He said, basically, you can direct your own story better than God can. So they checked it out. And when they realized, listen to this, when they realized that they were off script, when they realized that they weren't playing the part of the story that God had given them, they were ashamed. Just like we are, all are, when we sin against God. We're ashamed. Adam and Eve, they were ashamed that they were naked. They found out they were naked. And they were ashamed. God said, where are y'all? They said, we're hiding because we're naked. You know what God said? Who told you that? Who told you you were naked before? When you were studying off my script, you were naked. You weren't ashamed. Who told you you were naked? You see, that's the script that the devil had handed them. Who told you? Who told you you have to be ashamed because of some unmentionable stuff happened when you were a kid? Who told you that abuse was all about you and your fault? Who told you that you couldn't get rid of bitterness? Who handed you that script and said, you have to be mad about this forever? Who told you that you can't overcome addictions? Who told you that you would never amount to anything? Who handed you that script and said, you'll never amount to anything? Who told you that it was all about you? Who handed you that script and said, this is a story of so-and-so? Study it, read it, learn it, do it. You're awesome. You're the best. Who told you that divorce is something you can't recover from? These are not the scripts that the director, who sustains all things, gave you. John 10:10 says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, that's the script that God wants to give us. That's a script that God has given us. If we'll get back on that script and get off of the other junk, we'll understand that God wants to give us a life that is abundant. And why? So that he might have supremacy. So that he might have first place. Number three. Sometimes what we want isn't worth enough. Remember? The character wants something, and he overcomes conflict to get it. Sometimes what we want just isn't worth enough. If what you want isn't worth overcoming the conflict, sometimes it just ain't worth the trouble. Right? Have you ever said that? It just ain't worth the trouble. If that's true, then your story struggles. And it's not worth telling. It's not always that we want the wrong things, mind you. Okay? Listen to this. This is good. It's not always that we want the wrong things. Sometimes we just don't want the right things bad enough. But sometimes what we want really isn't worth enough. Look at countless of musicians, rock stars, and million-dollar athletes, right? Look at their stories. They achieved what they wanted only to find out that it wasn't enough, or that it was empty and worthless. So they take a dive. Some of them end up dead, disgraced, depressed, or addicted to something, trying to deal with the failure that all they had been working for is a loss because it doesn't amount to anything. They got what the world said is important to them, only to find out that it wasn't really important to them. It wasn't all that. Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now that's worth something worth wanting. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. That's worth wanting, y'all. Number four. Number one, we've cast the wrong main character. Number two, we're working off the wrong script. Number three, sometimes what we want isn't really worth enough. And number four, remember, in a storyline, sometimes we want to try to skip the scenes that make the story matter. Sometimes we hit those scenes that we're like, ooh, I don't want to go through this because it hurts. I want to skip forward. But yet that part is what makes the story worth telling, y'all. We often want to skip those scenes where we struggle and have to decide, is this really worth it? You know that without exercise, you don't get strong, right? It takes working through that to build the strength, to build the muscle, to get stronger. And we know that when we overcome those things, Like this. I want the story of my marriage to be told for generations. My kids, I want them to tell their kids and their grandkids about Michael. Oh, Pappy Nix and Granny, whatever she's going to go by. I don't know yet. I want them to tell the story that, oh, their marriage was fantastic. It was awesome. They loved each other deeply. But y'all, that doesn't happen by itself. You know that. Sometimes we say, I want to be smart with my money. And I want to have financial success. And I want to be able to retire and not want for anything someday. But yet we're unwilling to work on what it takes right now to learn to manage our money properly. We're unable to budget ourselves so that we're honoring God with a tithe. We're saving for that day coming down the road, and we live off less than 100% of our income. Some of us live on more than we make. How do we expect to be able to tell that story someday? You know, you can look at these guys that win the lottery. You look at some of these pro athletes. There was one, Warren Sapp, was a great, great defensive tackle in the NFL. Great guy. Made lots of money. I saw just the other day he filed for bankruptcy. He's got lots of stuff, but he'd never learned. While he was making the money, it didn't matter how he managed it because it was always coming in. Okay? Well, now that he's not making the money anymore and he never learned how to manage it, he's gone bankrupt. If he just skipped, see what he did is he skipped over that scene. He said, I don't want to have to learn that. I don't want to learn that. I just want to be wealthy. Well, you see what happened. We're in the same boat. If we come up against those things where we have to work something out between us in a relationship, and I just say, I just want to skip it. I want to avoid it. I don't want to do it. I want to go on to something else. It's better. We don't learn that. We're going to come to find a day when we needed that experience because that's what makes the story. When they say, well, their marriage was happy because they never faced any issues. Everything was always, they lived happily ever after. It was always blissful. I can attest to you right now, that's not always the case in the next household. But we work through those things. And that's what makes the story better. It makes the story worth telling. We are still together because we've overcome these things. We went through this. We went through that. We overcame that. We fought through this. We loved each other in spite of this. And that's a story worth telling. Our stories are worth telling if we give Christ the supremacy. If we put Him first. You see, it was the crucifixion that made the resurrection what it is today. We talked about this last week. The resurrection, one of the greatest days in all Christianity because it was the culmination of all that before. But it's not the culmination of everything, but it was the culmination of everything before that. But without the resurrection, had Jesus said, I just want to skip through this part of the crucifixion to get to the resurrection. Well, you can't be resurrected unless you've died. And He knew that. He could not avoid that part and still have the resurrection. Y'all, our stories, we have to go through some stuff. And when we honor God through it, you know, think of going to war. Can you have victory without going to battle? That's right. You have to get out there. Battles have changed. We don't always find ourselves in the trenches, you know, shooting at each other or lining up across the field and marching at each other like they did in the Patriot or something like that, which was just completely stupid. I don't know why anybody would want to fight that way. I mean, I'd want to be like on the fourth row and using some of those other guys as... But you can't have victory without going through the battles. And we need to understand that and remember that. And when we find ourselves in a battle, y'all, each and every day, we find ourselves in a struggle, in a battle. It's when we honor God through that battle and we come out on the other side that makes our story worth telling. But if it's about you, if the story is about you and it's about me, that story never is worth telling. That story says, I don't want to go through this, and I'm not going to, because I'm better than that. What script are you going off of? What script are you reading? Is it a script that somebody has handed you, said, this is you. Read this. Do this. Be this. Is that who you are? Is that your script? Is that God's story for your life? My question is like God asked in the garden, who told you that? Get back on the script. Get back on what I gave you, God wants to say to you. This is my story. I have supremacy. You play your part in my story. And it'll be a good part. It's not your story. You and I can live a better story. We can have a better story right now when we give God the supremacy. And I think as we go on through this series the next few weeks, it's just going to get better. The more we go through this, and I pray, my prayer is that as we go through this, you and I both, we're going through this together. We take this, we listen to it, we study it, we learn it, we incorporate it into our lives. And understand that it's not all about me. I just have a small part in the bigger story. And the bigger story is God's story. And He gets first place. I said earlier that there may be somebody here this morning that needs to give their life to Christ. You may need to come down here and say, my story's been all about me. I'm tired of it being about me because it's not really all that good. It's not worth telling. It's not a great story. I want to have a greater story. And I understand that to have a great story, it's got to be about Jesus. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you come and you're saying, I am a Christian. I am a Christian, but I just understand and realize now that I've been on the wrong script. I've been reading somebody else's version of the story, and it's not a great story. I need to get back to giving God first place in my life. If that's you, oh, respond to Him. This time we're about to stand and sing a song. This is your invitation. It doesn't do anything for me or to me to stand down here. Because, it's not my story. This is not about me. It's about you and your relationship with Christ. I'm here. If I can be of assistance to you, come see me. We'll talk. We'll pray. We'll look at the Scripture. We'll see what Scripture says about how to live a better story. We'll walk through that. But this is your time to respond. And my prayer is that you don't walk out of this building the same way you walked in. Every one of us. We need to have a better story. This is your time to respond.